Good morning. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Galatians chapter 5. I said, Linda, will you let me preach? He said, no, so I had to give him one in the eye, so... That's what he told me, anyway. All right, I'm going to need your help when reading this in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. I want to read through verse 21. I'll get you started and you all finish up, okay? Do you have your Bibles? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you may continue. Thank you for reading that, and let's stand and pray. Father in heaven, this morning we are thankful for your word. We're thankful for the opportunity to meet in your name. And Lord, our desire is to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. I pray if there's any lost soul in the sound of my voice this morning, that I might come to know you as our Savior. I pray also that my dear brothers and sisters would overcome sin and the lust of the flesh and the devil and the things of this world. Lord, this is our prayer, that we might honor you in all that we do, say, and think. Have mercy upon us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say I'm glad that you're here. I always prefer preaching to people rather than chairs. And I know it's a sacrifice. Maybe it's not so much, we don't consider it so much a sacrifice, but there's a lot of people that couldn't get out of bed this morning and should have. There's a lot of people should be here this morning, but for whatever reason they aren't, but you're here, you made it. So you ought to pat yourself on the back, and I'm trying to do that for you, so you did a good job of being here. I want to talk to you this morning about the lust of the flesh and how to overcome it. And thinking about this message, I know this is a battle that we all encounter, is it not? Don't we battle this on a daily basis, or am I the only one that has this problem with the flesh? Yeah. I remember as a young preacher, or as a young man, I should say, not necessarily a preacher, a young believer, I thought, one day I'm going to be like the pastor. I'm not going to have the lust of the flesh. And I'm not going to have the problems that I have. I'm going to be as holy as my pastor is. And then one day, I became a pastor and hung around with my pastor. And I found out that he's got the same problems I got. That was quite a shock. I can remember reading the Bible, thinking, one day, I'm going to be like Paul the Apostle. Man, that's going to be great. And then I read Romans 7, and I figured out, man, even he's got these problems, you know. So how can you and I, what are some things that you and I can do to overcome the flesh? Because there's some serious statements made here, right? First of all, there's a command, walk in the Spirit. That's a command. Yeah? And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, if we're in the flesh, Paul says in the book of Romans, we cannot please God. And I believe most of us here, I hope all of us here this morning, we have an intention, we have a desire to please God. Is that not true? But then this warning at the end, it says, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's a severe warning. Yeah. So I'd like to say, first of all, if we're going to overcome the flesh, and if we're going to overcome lust, we are going to have to be born again.
Amen.
The world, they don't have any hope. Without Christ, there's no way they can please God. Without Christ, without the Spirit of Christ in us, without the Spirit of God in us, then they are wholly given over to the flesh. And there are numerous verses in the Scriptures talking about how the world is given over to the lust of the flesh. But in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that you than he that is in the world." And there was a time when you and I, as believers, were bound to the flesh, and we didn't have the Spirit of God. There was no battle. The flesh and lust reigned in our lives. We just did whatever we wanted. Yeah. So I guess maybe I should define some terms this morning. What is lust? We think of lust, I think in our modern vocabulary, we think about lust being mostly sexual, right? We think that is lust. And that's true. Lust is an ardent sexual desire. A biblical term would be concupiscence, carnal appetite, unlawful desire of carnal pleasure. That's all sexual. But in the Bible also, lust is used as inordinate desire, craving, unrestrained desire, a longing desire, eagerness to possess something, a strong desire, or to covet. I think of a verse in Romans 7:7. Yeah, Paul said, "What shall I say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." So we see that lust is also coveting. Yeah. And as I said before, lust, a lot of times we think about mostly negative. Yeah. And I'm hard pressed to think of a positive way to think about lust, except for maybe, you know, a pregnant woman lusting after pickles. I don't know. But even that, I mean, it's inordinate desire, right? It's not normal. You know, you don't wake up, normal women don't wake up in the middle of the night and say, "Honey, I need some pickles." And Janice and I, when we were first married, we lived over here by Kelly Air Force Base, and we had a dear neighbor who was a believer, and she was with child, and she desired red clay, red dirt. And we would go over visiting. She's out there in the garden eating dirt. "What are you doing?" "I just got to have some. I got to have some, you know." Okay. You know. Thank God I'm not a woman. 2 Peter in chapter 1 and verse 3. Listen to what it says. "We have escaped something, according as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. Now we can read the whole part. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us." So, we have something, all of us have something in common. We were in the flesh. And as in verse 3 says, we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. So we have something in common. This is an experience. This is something that has affected not just men, but women as well. This is something that's happened not just to the younger generation, but continues to manifest itself among the elderly. And I notice that this congregation is getting older and older. It's getting less and less hair and grayer and grayer. Yeah. So have we overcome? You know, what I found is, I thought for surely I would find the golden nugget in the scriptures and I would no longer have to battle with the flesh. Wouldn't that be great? Some of you know I've been battling with my eyes. I'm waiting for that medicine that's just somebody's gonna say, oh, you need to take this. And some have already said that and I've taken it and it didn't work. Yeah. I'm waiting for that medicine they're gonna give and then I'm done with it. I don't have to fight with it. But you know what? I think I'm gonna have to fight it the rest of my life. And that's the first mistake we make, is thinking that, aha, I have overcome, I don't have to deal with the flesh anymore. Brethren, I got some news for you. We're going to be battling this battle until the day we die. In the context of our verse that we read this morning, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. You know how many a Christian gets themselves into trouble because they think they're going to reach a place when they no longer sin. And what happens is they either become hypocrites, where they feign as if they don't sin. They pretend that they don't have the battles that you and I have. I think Brother Bill mentioned some of these things this morning. Or their lives are destroyed because they had a misconception. I've met a lot of Christians. They had a misconception about what Christianity is. They thought when they got saved, everything was going to be okay. And then they find out they're still battling the same battles. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Did you notice that this battle, this is Peter writing unto the brethren, he says, abstain from fleshly lusts? Look, if you don't have that battle, then what's the use? What's the purpose of giving an admonition to abstain from it? But because he recognized, both Paul and Peter recognize that you and I as believers are going to be battling the flesh, in the scriptures we see some things that we can do to get the upper hand. A good general is going to look for tactics and things they can do to conquer the enemy, right? And so you and I as believers, if we find ourselves and recognize that most people would like to ignore the battle, just pretend it's not there, yeah? But it ain't going away, yeah? And if we want victory, we're going to have to do some planning and have some considerations in how we can overcome and get the upper hand and get the victory. Well, the first thing is walk in the Spirit. And you can't do that if you don't have the Spirit. Have you been born again? Have you been saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have the Spirit of God this morning? Then we need to walk in the Spirit. Let me give you another thing. In James in chapter 1, many people like to think that they're basically good instead of basically evil. That they are more naturally good than more naturally evil. They have this mistaken notion. And so when they find themselves encompassed by the lust of the flesh, when they find themselves in the flesh, there's this tendency to blame God. Look at what it says in James in chapter 1 and verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So we are in a battle, a life struggle with death, because sin is in us, and it brings forth, I mean, lust is in us, and it brings forth sin, and sin brings forth death. We're in this battle, brethren. Would you agree? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Then had no... There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. So first thing I want to say this morning, not the first thing, one of the things I want to say, one of the priorities that I want to get across this morning is, we cannot blame God for our lust. I know that might be sobering for you to find out that you are really wicked. You ought to look in the mirror every once in a while. It's very reflective. Mirrors don't lie. Yeah. And we ought to get in the mirror of God's word, and more we read God's word, the more we're going to realize how evil and corrupt we are. Yeah. So, what is the way of escape and how do we overcome? I have some suggestions from the scriptures. These are not necessarily in order or in priority, but I think they will be helpful. The first suggestion is beware of snares. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. But they that will be rich fall in temptations and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. We got to Poland, and we didn't learn Polish before we went. Well, we tried to learn a little bit, but it wasn't sufficient. And when we got to Poland, we spent 9 months with a tutor. We hired a young lady from the university. She came out. She was a student. She came out to our houses, and she taught us 5 hours a day, every day for 9 months. We studied Polish. Polish is a difficult language. In the meantime, we were out walking. And the Polish word for beware is uwaga, uwaga. But then it said, uwaga pies. And we're thinking, well, we understood what uwaga means, is beware of pies. And so, you know, that's why you don't find very many fat people in Poland, because they're always warning you, beware of pies, you know. P-I-E-S. But we come to find out that pies, or pies, are dogs. Yeah. They were saying beware of dogs, but we walk around and see these signs as uwaga, pies ahead, you know. So, but what are we saying? Be aware that there are some, you can't get caught in a trap if you're aware of it, right? If you're aware there's a bear trap up ahead, you're going to walk around it, right? Normal people would do that. Normal people don't put their foot in a bear trap, right? Normal people don't. So there's the first thing. Be aware, uwaga, as we say in Polish, that there are many hurtful lusts and temptations. Be aware of these. And some things you ought to be aware of, and just not put yourself into them. He says abstain from these things. Yeah. We'll get onto more on that point in later. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." So, how are we going to overcome lust? We're going to have to learn to resist and not raise the white flag. Yeah? And this is... maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but when lust overcomes me, many times I get tired of the battle and say, "Oh, forget it," and just resign myself. But the scriptures doesn't ever encourage us to resign ourselves to sin. The Bible also always encourages us to resist, to battle, to fight against it. Yeah, not yield. Don't give up. Don't be yielding. If you want to yield to something, yield to the Spirit. Yield to God. Yield to righteousness. Don't yield to your lust. Don't yield to your flesh. Yield to the Spirit of God. I think there's direct commands in the scripture. It says, quench not the spirit. Yeah. So we have these urgings of the spirit by hearing the word of God, and we should yield to the word of God, yield to the voice of the spirit of God coming through the scriptures. We should yield to these things and not to the flesh. Don't obey the flesh, obey God. Yield yourselves unto God and your members as instruments of righteousness. Look in Romans chapter 14, or Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. You know, it's good advice to not go to the grocery store when you're hungry. That's just good advice. Did you know that some things are a temptation to one, but not a temptation to another? I can walk, when I rarely do walk through a grocery store, I can go through most of the aisles without any temptations. Go buy the peas, no temptation. Sauerkraut, nope. Salads, not even tempted. Eggs, like them, but no big deal. Go buy the meat, it's all raw, it ain't cooked, never want it. Now if you cooked it, that might be something else, yeah. You get me down the ice cream aisle, and then I've got some problems. So if I want to avoid the temptation, what do? I make no provision for the flesh. I just don't go down that aisle. Yeah? Isn't that good advice? If you want to avoid some temptation, don't go down that aisle. Yeah? Don't make provision for, don't put yourself in a place that you're going to be tempted. Yeah? You say, well, I just can't overcome alcohol. Well, no wonder your refrigerator is filled with it. If you make it so easy, yeah? I remember a pastor here in town, I don't know if he's still alive, Brother Lee Patton. He was a pastor at Faith Bible Church here in San Antonio. He's still alive. Good. That's good to hear. Yeah, I know he's still alive. He's saved. He's going to be alive for eternity. But I used to live with him when I was a young man in the military. And he didn't necessarily preach against, he wasn't very strict about saying you can't watch TV. But he did have good advice. If you have to have a TV, put it in the closet. Why? You don't put the TV in the bedroom. Yeah? Don't put the TV where it's convenient. And that's good advice about sin and about a lust and about the things of the flesh. If you are tempted by certain things, don't put yourself where it's convenient to partake of it. Make no provision for the flesh. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Here's some real good advice. The word is no. I think this is probably why we should fast every once in a while, so that we can teach our flesh the meaning of the word no. I think that's one of the first words you ought to teach your children is no. Maybe forego daddy and get right to no. Let them go ahead and say mama first, but just get to no. Yeah. And I think that we have a generation that has grown up without ever learning the word no. They just given in to everything they wanted. They'd never been told no. Yeah. And so if we want to overcome the flesh and we want to have victory over lust, we're going to have to learn the word no. No, no, I'm not going to eat sugar. Easier said than done, but it's not going to be done if we don't learn the word no. Yeah, I went 10 days without eating objects that were obviously with sugar. Yeah, because it's pretty hard because almost everything has sugar in it now. But no, have you ever told yourself no? As I said, and going to the grocery store, it's really easy for me to say no. But get me into, a computer store, then it's not so easy. Get me into, like, I like Office Max and all the little pens in there and things. That's me, you know. Oh, I could use that and that and that. Yeah. So, no. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. Put off the former conversation. It says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. In other words, we ought to form new habits. We ought to put off the old and put on the new. You ought to get in a habit to go into church. I think it was here years ago in the old building. There was a young man came. Maybe I just heard the story. I forget now sometimes, but. We had a young man come, and he was all scarred up, and he said, "Look what happened to me! Your God did this to me!" And so maybe it was Lindell, maybe it was another preacher that said, "You didn't get those scars in a Sunday school class." Yeah? A lot of, it's a whole lot easier to be tempted, drink, say the temptation or the lust is alcohol, if you're in a bar. But if you're in a place where they don't sell alcohol, then the temptation is more difficult, right? Yeah. So put off the old things. Form new habits. Amen. Like maybe reading the scriptures, praying, gathering with believers. Put on the new and put off the old. Amen. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And this is the part we don't like. Or we get tired of it. I know I do. Resist, 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 and he still keeps on knocking on the door. Yeah? We need to learn to resist. We need to learn to tell the old man, need to tell the devil, no! I'm not gonna do that. Yeah? Resist. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Paul admonishes, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I think about Joseph. Do you remember the story of Joseph? He was tempted by a Potiphar's wife. The first he resisted, and then she came back. What did he do? He fled. He just ran out the door. I can remember a time in Aguas Calientes, that we were knocking on doors and preaching the gospel, and a man came out. He was irate. He was infuriated with us. He did not like the gospel, and he just began wailing on me. Fortunately, just gave me body shots. And I'm thinking, how long am I going to endure this? I only had a few options. I could get beat to death. That was one. I could retaliate. And I didn't want to retaliate because that would hinder the gospel, even though I did want to retaliate. Everything within me wanted to retaliate. There was a battle within my flesh. Yeah? I wanted to hit the guy right in the snout. That's what I wanted to do. But I refrained. And so finally I said, my only option is flee. And so, I'm going to have some fun with it. So I said, the guy just started laughing, and I'm going, get out. But flee the situation. Yeah, get out of the room, get away from them people. But the admonition, it doesn't run away, but also in this verse it says follow. So, yes, run away from the situation. Get away from it. Instead of running towards it, run away. But then it says, follow something else. Follow righteousness. And then it says, with whom? With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. There's some good things in AA. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but we have a lot of AA programs in Poland because we have over, the government itself recognizes 1 million drunkards. That's by government standards. By Bible standards, it's three times as high, easily. Real problem with drunkenness. But one of the things that they suggest doing is get a buddy. Because if you have support, then you know, two against one is better than one on one, yeah? So if you have somebody helping you not to drink, that's a whole lot better seeing it at home, you know, you're looking at that beer bottle or whatever, and the lust and the temptation comes, and you're all alone. But you got, it's hard to sin with somebody else that's also resisting, yeah? Because the day that you're weak, he's strong, and the day that you're strong, he's weak, and you have a buddy system. So he says, flee youthful lust, follow righteousness, and follow it with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Get around pure people. Get around people that hate sin. And then you're going to find out the temptation is not as great. And one of the reasons we preach in groups is because when you look out the window and the snow is falling and it's, you know, 20 below zero, you know, the temptation is, we don't need to preach today. But if you got your buddy over there, Brother Joe's waiting for you downtown, and you're thinking, how am I going to explain to him that it was too cold for me but not too cold for him? You know, there's strength in numbers. I think there's something in Ecclesiastes about a twofold cord is not easily broken. Yeah. So the admonition here is flee, follow with. Yeah. Get away, follow after righteousness with those others that are following after righteousness, and then you're going to be in a better situation to overcome the lust of the flesh. That's a good reason for meeting. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he said part of the prayer was, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, you know, before you come into the battle, maybe you ought to pray that you can avoid the battle. Instead of saying, you know, help me to get the victory, maybe you say, help me to avoid the battle. Help me to get around the problem. Yeah, help me to get away from it. Lord, don't lead me into temptation. Amen. So prayer is definitely something that we can do. He says in 1 John in chapter 5, he says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You know, I think the Lord would say to us, unfortunately, many times, oh ye of little faith. I think the Lord's going to show us that the judgment that we could have overcome if we just had a little bit of faith. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Just a little bit of faith. I remember I was in Warsaw, and we got to the place that we carried around a little pulpit. It was more like a song stand. These little song stands where you can adjust them, and they're very light. And the reason we did that was because we just stood on a street corner. They thought we were howling at the wind and drunk. And so they'd call the police, and the police would come. And especially in the beginning, because our Polish was broken and nobody knew what we were saying. And we were reading out of this old Polish Bible, and everybody thought we were just babbling, and they thought we were under the influence. And so they would call the police, and the police would come. And this was almost like a daily situation. So we finally bought one of these little music stands, and we made up placards with different verses on it and different statements on it, so they would know that we're there with a purpose. We're just not howling at the wind. We weren't drunk. So we'd carry these placards around, and we would have different placards for different hot button topics. And one of the placards had the Gone with the Wind, a Scarlett O'Hare and what's his name? Rhett Butler, you know, they're giving the kiss. And on that sign it said, fornication is sin. Sex out of sight of marriage is sin. And it was a very popular sign. I mean, that it just provoked conversation. And a movie director from Łódź, Łódź is like the Hollywood of Poland. A movie director from Łódź came by and he saw that sign and he says, I want to do an interview with you. He told me it was going to be an interview, and I agreed to do an interview. However, there was something in the communication that was lost. I'm pretty sure he said interview, but he wanted to do a movie clip. And he wanted it to be real, and so he said, look, all I want you to do is what you do every day. You just stand here, you preach, you do whatever you do, I'll take care of the rest. So we got out there. I'm preaching in Warsaw. We had the stand. I'd already preached, been there for an hour and a half, and he was supposed to be there a certain time. He sent me notice that he's on his way. On his way meant he'd be there in a couple hours. But I'm staying out there. It's snowing. It's cold. It's pretty chilly out there. So we continue to pass out tracks. He finally showed up. And so they set up all the cameras, just like in Hollywood. So, but this is outside. He set up all the cameras. He said, all right, this actor, he's going to come out from underneath the tunnel. And he's going to come walking by. He's going to see your sign. And he's going to engage you in conversation. The sign that says, sex outside of marriage is sin. So he's going to engage you in conversation. They had me all wired up and had a little ear thing in my ear. And so I'm, you know, I felt like, oh, wow, I'm an actor. Man. So here he comes and he says to me, what is this about? I said, well, it's about the Bible. You should walk holy before God and whatnot. And he'd say, I would like to do that, but I'm in the porn industry. He says, I've been really having trouble. Can you help me overcome? And let me tell you something. This went on for 8 hours. Because he would walk out. He would engage me in conversation. I would start to talk. And then that guy behind me would say, cut! I said, I don't want you to walk that angle. I want you to walk over this way. And then that guy would walk out again. And we'd engage in conversation. He'd go, cut! And they'd set up the lights a different way. And then he'd walk. This went on for 8 hours. I thought, I don't want to be an actor. This is crazy. Then it started snowing, and he was afraid it was going to ruin his cameras. And then he wanted to go into a restaurant, and finally had to set up all the lights again. We finally got, I'm going to be drinking tea. And then the guy would come in and see me. Aren't you that crazy preacher that has that sign? I want to talk to you. And so we're sitting there, and remember, we're wired up, and they don't ever turn off the mic. You're always on. Well, it's not live, but your mic is always on and you're always hearing the conversation from everybody. And so I'm hearing what they're saying. That guy's crazy. What is he talking about? You can't fornicate. What? They're just going on and on and on. And so the actor comes in. He sits down. We finally got the shot they're going to keep, right? He says, all right. He says, look, I got this problem. How do I overcome it? I know it's wrong. I know I shouldn't be doing this, but you know, I'm an actor and I'm a porn actor. I said, well, change jobs. And I could hear him, what? I said, it seems very practical to me. If you got a problem with fornication, the interest in industry you do not want to be in is the porn industry. He says, no, how am I going to eat? I said, you're not very interested in overcoming your temptation if you don't get out. You can eat by getting another job. Yeah. But that's a shock to this world. That we would say no to sin. That we would say change our job. Make a drastic change in order to overcome temptation.
Amen.
Well, those are a few things from scriptures. Remember this promise. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I hope those will be helpful to you. Let me tell you, this is a type of medicine that you have to repeat. You have to take daily, maybe hourly, maybe every moment. Yeah, because this battle with the flesh against the spirit is going to go on until the day of the Lord comes. So we keep this in mind and put these things into practice. I think we can get some victory. Yeah, we desire the victory, don't we? I hope these were helpful and practical advice for you this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you're a great God. You know that we're in a battle. We are wicked, and our flesh is wicked, and it's weak. And Lord, we have a desire to walk in the Spirit. We have a desire not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Our desire is to fulfill your will and to give you honor, to give you glory. Lord, help us to do it. Deliver us from temptations. Deliver us from evil. Lord, deliver us from the wicked one and help us to get victory that your name might be glorified. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. May God richly bless you.